Okay, lady, now let's get information. I say, okay, lady, now let's get information. You know you that bitch when you cause all this conversation. Always stay gracious, let's revenge is your paper. It's your girl, the Thick Writer Chick, coming at you once again. Hello. So today, I watched Tyler Perry's new film, Maya Coopla, I don't know. But yes, I watched that today. You know, in the words of Keith Lee, I watched it. Let's try it. I got it. Let's talk about it. I will say that the girlies did kind of overhype it just a little bit, but I'm not saying it was bad. It wasn't necessarily bad, if you will. But let's get into it. So the movie pretty much surrounds the legendary, beautiful Kelly Rowland, one-third of the supergroup Destiny's Child, and also a Devontae Rhodes. And some other light-skinned people. So, pretty much she is a lawyer, and her jobless light-skinned husband, has a mother who has cancer, who is a pain in the ass. His brother is ambitious, also a lawyer, and is seeking to be a mayoral candidate. They constantly let their mother verbally abuse, Kelly Rowland and do very little to prove their manhood against her dominance. I don't know if it's the cancer or what, but we'll get into that. Anyway, let's start there. The mother-in-law was a bitch from the depths of Tartarus. I don't know. Cancer or not, she would have been getting hands on site on a regular. Kelly's character was definitely a doormat. For sure. Definitely gave doormat. I don't give a damn who you is or what you got. You're going to talk to me like you have some sense, or we don't talk. Like, even if she didn't want to cuss her slap out, somebody like me would have got up and walked up out that dinner. Cause fuck you and your birthday. But, you know, I guess her husband is the younger son and he's a little bit of a wimp. He's been jobless for God knows how long and is scared to tell his family. So they pretty much, you know, sit there and verbally attack Kelly as if he is just whining and dining her and providing this lavish luxury lifestyle that his broke ass is not. And he doesn't do much to say anything or correct them or any of that or defend his wife in any form or fashion, which is, you know, true Tyler Perry fashion. Aren't all the black women in his films miserable as fuck, you know, with horrible husbands or horrible baby daddies or horrible boyfriends? But anyway, so they're on the verge of brokenness. And this hella fine Tavante. I just love him. Can we give it up for Tavante? Like, I just... But anyway, hella fine artist who has been accused of murder wants her in specific to be his lawyer. He pretty much comes up to her job, harasses her. Her brother-in-law has already made it clear that he wants to be the one to try this case. But the starving artist has made it very clear he wants Kelly Rowland. So let's go there. First of all, I know this is fiction, but let's be real. Now I, and any other red-blooded woman would most definitely go to this man's house alone. But in a professional sense, this man is on trial for murder of women or of a woman. Why the fuck are we meeting at his loft? Nobody cares. Here's the thing. Kelly's character was so, I don't know, because talk about unprofessional. The way he would talk to her is ridiculous. Unprofessional as fuck. It was very obvious he was playing on her top, playing on her femininity, playing on using his sexual, you know, whatever to advance with her, because he would never with her brother-in-law. he would talk to her like he had no sense, show up to her job talking all crazy, and you have to come to my loft and all this stupid shit. And not that he would even give her his undivided attention. Nigga would be sitting there painting. And it was very clear from the start that he picked her simply so he could play off of her feminine emotions and play off the fact that he's very handsome and try to con her out of her draws, which was very easy for him to do, might I add. But all of this was extremely unprofessional. He would, fine or not, he would have had to find himself another lawyer talking to me the way he talked to Kelly. Very unprofessional, very full of shit. Very much so. But even with that being said, the script was so flimsy that it was quite obvious that he wasn't really guilty. I mean, I won't say flimsy. I definitely commend Tyler for trying to step out of his, you know, regular faith-based fiction comedy box. But I don't know. So anyway, yeah, so because he would never with a male lawyer, it was very obvious that he was playing on the fact that she was a woman. And despite her supposed to be, you know, this is, to be a lawyer, you got to have you some degrees. I think a PhD to like practice criminal law. And this is how dense you are behind this nigga. You could lose your motherfucking job. No lawyer would ever. No lawyer worth their weight in salt. And I understand he fine. And like I said, I would definitely be over there. And that's and it, not even your job. Sis, this nigga is up for the murder of his girlfriend, which means he could be a violent killer. And you thought it was safe to be here alone and unarmed? If I must come to your loft, I'll bring my little sister with me or somebody. Somebody finna accompany me. I mean, I know she need the money, but damn. Anywho. So, to absolutely no one's surprise, they end up sleeping together. I mean, can you blame her? I don't know, friends. Like, I mean, I wanted it to be just, yeah, because y'all hyped it up. Like, y'all was hyping that shit up. Like, it was the coming of Christ. Like, the second coming of Christ. Like, yeah, so good. I was just like, what you know, so I mean, the husband was an asshole, the mama clearly didn't. If you ever dealt with someone who has cancer, like serious cancer, on the verge of death, terminal, like they were saying she did not look it and she certainly didn't act it. Most people who are dying from cancer have very little energy, and she has energy to be a bitch to the third power and an asshole. Like, it never gave me she was actually sick. We did not even try with it. But anyway, and you know what? They say that the mixed kids or mixed grown folks with the white mama are the ones to watch out for. And this movie definitely doubled down on that theory, because what the fuck? Like, what kind of light-skinned ass bullshit plot was that? You that mad because your wife banged this artist that you literally gonna set this nigga up for murder? If that ain't the most light-skinned foolishness that I've ever heard in my life, that mulatto bullshit. Oh, you gotta sleep with my wife? Huh? I'll get you, buddy. Get the law involved. I'm gonna put you away. Not go fight the nigga. Not boss up and be a better husband. Hell, not even leave the cheating wife. I'm going to put you away for murder. I'm going to go through all this trouble to pay someone to sleep with you, to be in a relationship with you, to make videos and to disappear so that I can put you behind bars because my loose as a goose wife gave you some cat. I mean, just some light-skinned bullshit. Now, I knew, and I was hoping, I was like, if they're not involved in some kind of way, this is going to be a letdown of a movie. So, okay, them being involved was fine, but the motives were trash. You slept with my wife? That's it? Wives cheat every day, B? Like, the fuck? Do you know how much trouble you could get into for falsifying documents, for framing somebody for murder? That's your ass. You didn't think this through at all. Which is exactly what ended up happening. But So the husband starts, I'm sorry, let me back it up because I jumped to the end and came back. But anyway, the only kind of ally of any sort that this poor woman, our beloved Kelly, has in this god-awful Tylerverse is her sister-in-law, who actually is only two steps above being less shitty than her, than everyone else. Like, I mean, they make eyes at each other whenever the mama says something stupid, but she never stands up for her. Thanks for nothing. You know, they both seem like black women that thought they was, you know, got with a preference and thought they was finna get treated some kind of way, so they have to code switch and move a certain way not to piss them off. Child. So when you fetishize light-skinned men, remember this movie. Because what? That's what you get, light-skinned bullshit. You got to deal with the white mama talking to you any kind of way. I mean, we might as well be on a damn plantation. What is this? You said what? My son has been so good to you. Okay. Get your fake cancer having that son. And mama would have caught these hands, baby. Birthday or not, cancer or not, red fish, blue fish, yo ass. It's on sight. Like, I don't understand the disrespect or taking the disrespect. Now, after she cheated, I know some people, when they, you know, when they mess up, they feel guilty and they let you talk to them in a kind of way. But prior to the cheating, who the fuck is you talking to? Cancer or not, y'all better get her. Like, and if I come off or I appear as the angry black woman, it is what it is, because you thought I was that anyway. She does not like them women. She is clearly racist. Clearly. Whoever they daddy is, whatever black man knocked her up and left her high and dry, she is really feeling a ways about it. I have to say, she might be the best part of the whole damn movie. No shade. Look here. Kelly is an icon and she's beautiful. But some of the time when she was talking, it sounded like an AI voice. Like, I don't know if she was just trying to present a very serious demeanor with him to let her know she meant business. This is strictly the dun and the dun 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 and you don't dun dun dun. It don't matter what you say, because bitch, you already at his fucking house. He already got you by the throat. He didn't already sit here and said all this inappropriate shit and you did not leave and quit the case. He actually threatened to fire you twice. I think he was like, I'm getting somebody new because you won't admit that you like me. The only... He's not worse than the two light-skinned brothers, but damn it, he was annoying. Zaire, whatever his name was. Oh my goodness. He didn't take none of this shit serious. Maybe he knew the plot like we did. Maybe he saw the plot coming, because he did not take none of this shit serious. Bitch, they're finna put you away for fucking life. They are finna put a needle in your black ass arm for some shit that you didn't do. And you around here trying to get some ass. I understand it's Kelly Rowland, but nigga, do you think this is a joke? This same tired con that he's done with how God knows how many women. Oh, close your eyes and tell me what you think of the colors. Yee. But I mean, isn't that how most con artist niggas act? They have one act in it, but if it works, why change it up? So I guess that's what he say. He say the paint with a twist has been working for 15 years. Why change it up now? You know, they tried so hard to make him seem like a devious killer. And then when she was, okay, so this is from someone who paints in real life. I don't know what kind of canvas he is using, a very thin one, that he has six of them bitches plastered on top of each other in that thing on the wall. And she was so, they just so easily came down with very little effort. Kelly was just like, it was like going through a construction paper book and ripping out the pages. What kind of canvas? Like, what is he using? What's he painting on? Toilet paper? Like, why are these things? Like, it's like six bitches up here. How did they get, what? And then the one that the girl messed up or whatever, the one from the phone, there it is. You know, just, they tried, honey, they tried. I'm gonna keep it G. There are parts that very much so gave 2B movie vibes. I'm just the messenger. You don't have to agree with me. You know, don't railroad me like y'all did when I talked about Alicia Keys at the Super Bowl. But it, you know, there were a few scenes that were giving 2B, and it was, and this is just the, you know, I went to film school, so certain things I look for, the lighting was off, you know, in some scenes. In some scenes, it was really great. Like, in his loft, the lighting was always on point, but, like, everywhere else, it was very cheap looking. And just even Trevante, like, you can only be so fine around a bad script or bad lines or whatever for so long. And his character was so not serious. Like, I guess because we've seen other movies where men were on trial for literally death. You know, we've seen Mercy Me. We've seen A Time to Kill. Oscar-winning worthy performances. And then there's Trevante Rhodes being this player artist guy that wears all black like he's Johnny Cash all the time, who doesn't really seem phased at all, although he knows he's innocent and has cornered this woman at her job and picked her out because he likes her and is getting mad because she's not admitting that she likes him, as if in about a month you're not gonna be strapped to somebody. Like, it just I don't think his priorities were necessarily in the right place. If anything, he should have been the one out there looking for that bitch, because when I find you, I am gonna kill your ass. But you over here painting murals, going to your little Candy's bedroom dungeon, you know, just he was fine though. I like me some Trevante. He's easy on the eyes. So, apparently he's got some kinks. He's into a little, he's got S&M, you know, a little bondage, a little woo-woo-woo. And, I mean, okay. I mean, yeah. So, which I was fine with that. You know, I was listening when he was talking. I was listening when he was talking about that. I was like, tell more. Say a little, what you say? The ears were listening, but just it got priorities fucked up. Sir, who gives a damn about any of that? They want you dead, nigga, and you didn't do the shit. Like, his lack of seriousness was just making the movie worse. I think what people seem to have most enjoyed on the internet was the lovemaking between him and Kelly that took place on top of a giant cloth canvas while they rolled around in paint. And I guess because I do FX and makeup, body paint, and I actually paint with oil paint in real life. For me, that is not sexy. Because all I'm thinking, because I'm thinking from an artist's perspective, all I'm thinking about is who's going to clean this shit up and how long it's going to take to scrub it off. Like, that's one of the reasons I don't do as many of those FX looks as I used to, is because it takes forever to get that shit off. And it's getting in their mouths. Ain't nothing sexy about that. Have you ever tasted paint? This is from, again, I put the shit on my face. It's not a good taste. I mean, but it's pretty. But is it realistic? No. I'm not going to get no motherfucking paint. You know how long it's going to take that shit to get out her hair? Bitch, what are you thinking? The bed was right there. I mean, but was it pretty? It was pretty. I ain't gonna lie. So the first time, let me show y'all, because I got my clip right here. Hold on. Okay. So the first time they was upstairs after they kissed, I don't even remember the order of the shit, but I just know Trevante Rhodes walked by, or he walked that way with his booty cheeks out. He was stark naked, if you will. And he walked by and I seen them cheeks. This is the cup I had, y'all. I was like, maybe I had missed that straw. I was like, the straw was getting away from me. It caught me off guard in a good way. I was like, I love. Let me get my coffee. Baby. I'm a back girl. I'm a back and an ass girl. And it was... mine eyes have seen the glory, child. And then he did it again. He walked back by, cheeks galore. I was like, ooh. And then when they was getting their little paint... Okay, so here's the thing. Did Kelly give us topless? Technically. But her nipples were covered up. So everybody calm the fuck down. Like, everybody's pissed. The people that didn't like the movie weren't happy that Kelly gave us topless for a movie they felt like wasn't any good. But Kelly is a lady. I want no nipples. And if they was, I ain't see them. I mean, they were in the screen. Top of the breast. So what? We saw all that in Destiny's Child. There was no nipples. So calm down. And if there was, put it in the comments. My bad. I didn't see any. I did not see any. But was the little sex scene with him pouring the paint everywhere? I know that wasn't a motherfucking hot wax. Ain't no way. Because in real life, that would have been a lot different. It would have been a lot of hollering. Even if you're into that, you finna holler when some hot wax hit your skin. So I'm assuming that was paint. And then they moved to the floor and did more paints. Arts and crafts, you know. So was it pretty? Yeah, it was a nice little color palette, I guess. They were prettier. Like, I would have been fine with them rolling on the floor without the paint. I mean, okay. Because all I could think about as an artist was, who's going to get this fucking shit cleaned up? Please do not get that in her hair. And how long it's going to take them to get that shit off of them. And it's getting in their mouths. Paint does not taste good. I mean, I know. Forgive me. It's the artist in me. But I guess it was meant to be beautiful. So, I mean, first of all, them two chocolate people all over each other was beautiful, honey. I wonder what's her husband's name? I wonder how you felt the other day. Because, baby, the little kiss upstairs, that was the sexiest thing to me. When they first kissed, baby, Trevante was grabbing that ass. You hear me? That wasn't no acting, nigga. He said he don't never get this opportunity again, baby. I'm gonna make it believable. And it was, I was like, oh, Kelly girl, I'm so jelly. First of all, Trevante, my ass is way bigger than Kelly Rose. Like, see me. And we and ain't no light-skinned husband in the background fucking shit up. Nah, but it was, you know, I feel like the little scene was a little long, but it's not like I was complaining. Like, get back to what the flimsy story. So by all means, leave the chocolate on the screen, you know. But okay. So back to the story, and before I let y'all go. This shit had them pissed me off. So anyway, she sleeps with old boy. Some kind of way, brother-in-law finds out. They have this little council session, family meeting, and put her on blast. And the mom's like, you need to leave. And she kindly and politely left. If I'm going to be thrown out anyway, I'm cussing a bitch the fuck out. I'm cussing. I'm putting cases on all you bitches. I'm cussing everybody out. You know what? Fuck you. With your cancer having it. Like, which she did not have. I mean, just, they mad at her because she fell for the okie doke. Well, bitch, so did your wife. Have you seen this man? Oh, you have. That's why you mad. You and your light skin rage, your beige begrudge is so mad that this nigga is that fly that you are trying to put him away for life behind something he didn't do just because he smashed your girl. He is that nigga. But also the character, oh my gosh, I wanted to like Trevante's character. He was extremely annoying, very narcissistic, extremely arrogant, very immature. Like, nigga, they trying to kill you. What you gonna do about it? Well, I know that you like me, so admit it. And if you can admit it, then I'm getting another lawyer. Nigga, the case is in 2 weeks. What the fuck are you talking about? Like, he was so unserious about his own life that it was agitating. You're just fine. That's it. That is it. But so the part that pissed me all the fuck the way off, and I was about to turn the shit off afterwards, is when, after Kelly is discovered to be a cheating hoe, she reverts to some resort in Rio de Janeiro or wherever the fuck she was at. I don't know where she was at, but of all the juke joints in the world, she had to walk into mine. Who else does she bump into at this random resort other than the supposedly dead girlfriend? Now, because I'm a writer, I knew the girl was not dead. I knew stuff was not going to be what it appeared to be. But really, they just found out I'm a hoe-cation and I bump into the victim. of all places. It's sloppy writing. They could have exposed that that girl was still alive in so many more clever ways than that shit. While she was out there getting her hide away from my family on, she could have did some digging. She could have did some researching. She could have put some things together. Two and two, got her mans on it, tracked her down, got her homeboy on it, and found her. I'm going to the restroom. Heidi? Oh my God. No hablo ingles. Tyler, he must have wrote that part of the movie late at night before beat. Because what? And then they have this weird chase down scene. First of all, if you're finna make me or have me participate in framing someone for murder, and you didn't break me off enough to where I don't have to work, at least immediately after. This bitch is a housekeeper at a resort. No shade. I'm not saying that's not a respectable job. But if you finna have me participate in a setup that could put me in jail, you better break me the entire fuck off. It would have made more sense to see her at the resort chilling, not working. What did he pay her in? Cheerios? Why she broke already? These people got money. He is a lawyer. What the fuck is she doing here cleaning toilets, my man? Like, what's going on? Baby, you got to break me all the way up. Oh, yeah, I'll disappear. I'm finna disappear to motherfucking Jamaica. I'm finna be at the Rio Resort and not as no damn housekeeper. The fuck? So, they bump into each other and this woman, they have their little tussle, and this woman sprays Kelly Rowland with some Windex. I mean, like she's a roach. I was like, did she just spray her like she's a ant? What the fuck? And she's over here, oh my eyes. And of course, Heidi gets away, and nobody saw any of this. Nobody thought to stop. You know, the on-site supervisor didn't intervene. They're still outside. They didn't go to an alley or inside of one of the hotel rooms. No intervention whatsoever. And then she sprays Kelly Rowland like a roach. Kelly gets her homeboy on the phone. And this is what gives it away. If you weren't picking up on these light-skinned people had something to do with this shit right away, because they used to frame, they would frame his face so much, and his facial expressions, this is the brother that wants to be mayor, would always give away that he was no good. I mean, he didn't even hide it well. He wasn't a good person. He was very, very clearly the criminal, like clearly the criminal. And then when he showed so much interest in having to have that case, why this case? What if the man is innocent? Why you? He was Tyler, come on. Me personally, I was just waiting for when the plot twist was gonna come, because I knew it was coming. Like this little weird mama probably ain't sick, and lo and behold, she wasn't. And I bet that mayor nigga got something to do with this shit. And lo and behold, he did. It was just, the motives were so trash. You want to ruin this nigga's life because he slept with your wife instead of just being normal and going to marriage counseling or some shit? I'm talking about, that is the most light-skinned bullshit I have ever heard. Game blouses. Like, what the fuck? But okay. No, okay. Oh yeah, and back to the sister-in-law, because to me, she was about two notches above the rest of them. When she exposed herself for sleeping with old boy, what did she do? Run outside and give her a hug instead of run outside and put her on some game, give her some advice, run away with her. I don't know, something besides the fuck shit. And I guess maybe before she could say anything, the mayor came outside and was like, the kid, the chiller need tending to. I I was looking at him like, what the fuck? You are they daddy. You could see about the kid. And that was another dead giveaway. Whatever her name is, Sirlicia, I need you back in the house. The kids need tending to. You know you're their father, right? Not their uncle. That was weird. Okay. So yeah, she gave her no heads up, no warning, nothing, and never really backed her up. But like I said, about two steps better than the brother-in-law and the mama, maybe three. And all this is because of you, huh? I can't believe both of y'all were so weak. Have you seen Trevante Rhodes? You can't believe it. Sis, are you mad because the black man that you made them horrible ass sons with didn't look that good? Is that why you mad? Before I snatched that damn wig off your head, I was sick of the mama. But honestly, she was the most entertaining part of the film. So anyway, we bump into the victim randomly in Jamaica or wherever she was at. And then the brother is like, well, come home. Get on a flight. My team will take care of it. All dead giveaways that you would think somebody with a motherfucking PhD in law would have caught on to. It was by now, it was so obvious it was him. She's not dead, and the brother is still obsessing and wants you to come home. Because a minute ago, you wasn't talking to me. A minute ago, it was you didn't even want to answer the phone when I called. Now it's, oh, come home and come over. Ain't no way I would have came over there unarmed if I came over that bitch at all. Then her homeboy sends the email. And what? If I'm sending you something like this and you telling me you over there, I'm panicking. Like, the writing, child. Sis, you need to get the fuck up out of there. This email says that your brother-in-law is a straight cold killer and that he's on some fuck shit. I need you to safely get out that bitch fucking now. I'm on my way. Give me an address. Like, he was just like, look, I've got an email for you. Let me know when you read it. And then she come out there, well, how's your team? Did they get anything on Heidi? I mean, obviously she was kind of scared, but it was like, bitch, you fucked. Like, you shouldn't, like you should have enough sense to not come over there to begin with, but you didn't. So you fucked. And here I was almost thinking maybe the husband wasn't aware, but then when he starts to call 911 and you can't hear shit, and then finally Tyler's like, okay, let me let them in on it. You can hear the brother's cell phone. She's figured it all out. Bring her back to the house. What exactly was his plan? The mayor guy. What was his plan? He was going to kill her, kill the wife, and do what? I mean, I'm sure they were going to get away with it because his mama is white and they are mulatto. But what exactly was the plan for real? Like, you know. I don't know. So, I don't know if they were expecting to kill her. You know. Then it's revealed that she ain't got cancer, which who knew? It was like watching a live action version of Scooby-Doo. We always knew it was the brother, and we knew the mama wasn't sick. I did not know that the sister-in-law slept with the artist. That was kind of a nice little plot twist. Damn, anybody can get it. Family affair, hey. But I think why did they have her picture there? It was all weird. So maybe she's the one that, I don't even want to try to think too hard to figure this shit out. But did she take her photo down and replace it with the fake dead girl's picture with some writing on it? And I enjoyed the jazz man's blues a little bit more. And for me, his best film today is still The Family That Prays. But also, we gotta understand, The Family That Prays has some actors. Do you hear me? Even if that script wouldn't have been no good, we got Taraji. We got Alfred Woodard. We got, what's her name? Kate, you know, Fried Green Tomatoes. Can't think of the name right now. These are Oscar winning Oscar nominees. So there was no fucking that movie up, no way. The only person we knew in this motherfucker was Kelly Rowland. And I mean Chavante. But everybody else is like extras. Or I think Baby Girl was off of Down in the Valley with the Girls Connecticut. Is that where she's from? The pink? And am I crooked? That is her. Or maybe it isn't. Looks like her if it ain't. But we're not necessarily dealing with just Oscar. You know, we got an all right script and we got Kelly Rowland. And most of us are here for Kelly. And they threw Chavante in to reel you in. It's a beautiful couple, so we gonna watch. We know some sex scenes is coming, so we in now. It was all right. I could tell Chavante was not method acting. Not really, yeah, baby. He eating that girl face off. Hand full of ass. I mean, Kelly ain't the thickest. But, baby, he was finding that ass from somewhere. He grew up. No, I gotcha. I was like, damn, nigga, damn. Cut. They probably said, like, like, cut. Damn it, cut Chavante. He ain't letting go. But, yeah, you know, me. It was right. I wouldn't call it the second coming of Christ. I'm glad y'all enjoyed it. It's number one on Netflix, but in comparison to what? Like, number two was like some kids movie. It's not a whole lot popping movie-wise on Netflix right now, so it's probably going to be number one for a minute. But it was all right. I would love to say it was, you know, it was right. Plot twist to me, you kind of could see it coming from a mile away. Motives for the villain. Okay. So let's talk about that ending scene when the brother, when she like takes over the wheel and the brother goes flying out of the car, flying out of the car, like, like a damn test dummy and dies, you know. Okay, like she takes his seatbelt off, he allows it, and then she just, what if you would have killed us both? Like, I was really thinking the smarter thing would have been to take her seatbelt off and just get out the car and roll, you know, and try your luck rolling. But let's try this instead. Let's ram a fire truck and hope for the best. But it seemed to work out, and Tyler Perry verse shit works out like that. So as soon as he would have started back, headed towards their house, I would have been making my way downtown like Vanessa Carlton. Like, I'm finna get up, I'm finna open this door, and I'm finna go speed race, sir. I'm finna be rolling down this hill, and good luck, because fuck that. But, and then at the end, you know, he gets arrested. Great. We don't know what happens to the sister-in-law or anyone, you know, for that matter, other than he gets arrested. And, then she has some burner phone and Trevante. I remember thinking that when they, after they did the little news part, and I was like, are they going to get together now? Because, I mean, technically he's single, but no, he's still a fuckboy. He is. Artist-ass fuckboy. He is. Ooh, the colors. Oh, I painted this portrait of you. I mean, same song and dance with every hoe he fucked. No, I would not be getting with you, sir. I mean, they could have. They ain't had no kids, and the husband dead, and he was a lying, backstabbing criminal. So, I mean, who tried to kill her? So, I mean, oh, thank you so much. You saved my life. You didn't give a damn about your life. You was trying to get some ass when you were supposed to be helping your lawyer to win your damn case. Sir. But that's all I got. I can't believe I was able to talk about this shit for 38 minutes, because, I mean, it was cool. Like, it was straight, you know. Was it Gone Girl?
No.
Was it that type of psychological thriller? No. But I applaud him for trying something different. I'm loving seeing the beautiful black people, you know, minus the white mama who was getting on my damn nerves and needed her chin checked on several occasions. Several occasions. We definitely could have tried a little bit harder with the murder victim just taking out the trash at a random resort where our main character is. Let's make the people work for the plot twist, please. Yeah, but that's all I got. Thanks for tuning in. If you haven't subscribed, nigga, subscribe. The fuck? No, I'm playing. But no, I'm serious. Subscribe. And, That's all I got. Good night.